Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Want to have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco and Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco and Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
Then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. These cigs of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado. Tobacco and Brew, coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate.
Brought to you by Trinity Pest Control, Giles Insurance, and Summit Funding.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, Jeffersonians. It's Sunday again.
It is all over again.
All over. It was just Sunday last week.
I know. It seems to happen a lot. At least once a week.
Yeah, except for me. Last Sunday, I was down with a cold. Oh my gosh, wipe me out. Wipe the kid out too.
Yeah, there's been little touches of flu running around. You know, I had a stomach bug a couple days ago, and it was not bad, just enough kind of disrupt things and keep me in a general orbit of my bathroom and just enough to be annoying.
Yeah.
And so, but it's not quite feeling like fall yet, but it's starting to get
there. Cooler.
I haven't had that first morning where I walk out and go, oh, there you are. You know, but it's been quite a bit nicer.
Yeah. Well, with the flu and the cold starting to go around, it's like, oh yeah. Definitely time for winter.
Yeah. Has survived another Reading summer once again.
Yeah. Just an FYI, if your kid gets 102-ish degree fever for 2 days and then it breaks completely and then it comes back with a vengeance at about 104 for 2 days, just give them some of that kid Advil stuff and it'll suddenly break on the sixth day and they'll be totally fine. I'm not even joking. Like, half the parents I've talked to, that's what they say, and then that's exactly what happened to my little guy, and he's fine. So don't be alarmed. I guess that's normal.
It's that time of year.
It is. Well. But. It's Labor Day.
It is Labor Day, amazingly enough. It's so weird for me because I remember back when I used to just be a normal citizen, that I would spend like the month and a month and a half before Labor Day thinking about Labor Day, planning for Labor Day, getting ready for Labor Day, and now it's like turn around and go, oh, it is Labor Day weekend, isn't it? How did that happen? You know, and with all of the work doing for the Shasta Lantern and traveling for the state of Jefferson and some other things that are going on, it's it gets to be a little bit crazy.
Every day is Labor Day.
I know.
Except for you don't have the day off.
What's
Yeah. A day off?
I seem to remember one of those in the vague past. No. But we do got some things that we want to cover, and I want to hit the CalPERS thing again since our episode a couple months ago, or a couple weeks ago, I mean, had a lot of people, a lot of emails saying, hey, can you go over the CalPERS thing? Can you hit it again? You know, kind of was catching what was going on, but, you know, can we get it a little bit more in-depth? Yeah. Well, it is, and it really is kind of a lie wrapped in... kind of a riddle wrapped in, it's a mess.
An enigma wrapped in, what is that phrase that Churchill always called the Iron Curtain?
Yeah. So we want to hit that, but first we want to announce that we have two new counties for the state of Jefferson.
Yeah.
So Trinity County and Sierra County both are over the number of signatures that they need to take a direct declaration of the people to Sacramento.
So they're at 51% or more.
They are. And how we figured that is for it to be an actual petition of the people, according to the state of California, is you need 51% of the people that voted in the last gubernatorial election.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to do it California's way, which is actually designed to disenfranchise the word of the people, is you have to spend all of this money, and then the county has to spend all of the taxpayers' money
mm-hmm.
and everything. And we figured, hey, we'll just go with a direct petition to the people ourselves, and... That's what they did. Now, that's not to say in either one of these counties that the Board of Supervisors will not vote to endorse the declaration by the people.
Mm-hmm.
The vote of the Board of Supervisors is no longer required
mm-hmm.
because we have the numbers for a direct voice of the people. But Trinity County is coming up where their board has heard a presentation, and they'll be deciding on a vote from there.
Mm-hmm.
And... really, at this point, the question is are you going to follow the will of the people, which is clearly defined right here in all of these signatures?
51% signature, yeah.
Or are you going to pull out your sword and stab yourself in the gut and commit seppuku right there in the Board of Supervisors, metaphorically, politically speaking, of course.
Yes, of course.
You know, so, and we've got pretty good feelings about Trinity County.
Mm-hmm.
We know who the supporters are. We know who thinks we're crazy, but we'll support the will of the people. And we also know who's a good little statist and will do anything that Uncle Jerry tells him.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we've got good feelings for Trinity County. And Sierra County has actually moved so fast and with so many signatures that the board hasn't even had an opportunity to hear a presentation yet.
So the people know what they want. That's what you're saying.
The people know what they want. And, you know... and the board has heard some things about Jefferson and everything, but before they really get the full Mark Baird treatment and understanding, it's already like, by the way, everybody wants this.
Now, out of curiosity, a question from the chat room. Why let the board vote if you already have the signatures? Would it be more just formality, just giving them the option to do what the people
They're supposed to be the representative voice of the people, so they should be granted the ability to do so. And to be perfectly honest, it's kind of a nice tool to ferret out who's really for the people and who's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because even some of the people that are opposed to the state of Jefferson, you have a very clear understanding of where they're coming from and why. And most of the time, the people that are opposed to the state of Jefferson, it's self-serving.
Yeah.
There are some that...
they don't want their cattle trucks to share the road.
Yeah, they don't want their cattle trucks to share the road. They're terrified it's going to rattle the power structure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've been sitting in line with the power structure to move up the ladder, and they're worried about how it's going to shake it. There are some that are genuinely concerned about the people, and you know, like I said...
Some people are just more cautious.
Well, some people are good little statists and believe in everything that California's doing.
And in theory, if they vote no for the state of Jefferson, then it really doesn't matter because you have 51% of the people.
Yes.
And I would like to point out that we just had our 2-year Jefferson anniversary last week.
Yes, we did. September 3rd was state of Jefferson's second anniversary. And we consider that because September 3rd, 2 years ago, was in Siskiyou County, mm-hmm. was the first county that actually took a vote and declared for the state of Jefferson.
Yeah. So I think that's quite apt to have two more counties on our second anniversary.
Yeah. So. And we've got, looks like Terry on the phone.
Good morning, Terry. How are you?
I'm good. How are you two doing?
Oh, good. Doing good.
Good. I want to clarify just a couple of things, and especially the person who wrote in on the chat room. And the reason is things are moving so quickly that I know it's making all our heads spin. As far as the declarations go by the people, the number we picked was the number we picked as far as the 51%. That has nothing to do with California. The other thing is that we have the right to redress grievances, and these declarations will be put into the Secretary of State, the Parliamentary Record, the Senate Pro Tem, and the Assembly Pro Tem. What these declarations do is they begin the discussion that we will have with legislation and with a couple of different assemblymen. As we have this discussion, we will have committees. Now, what the Board of Supervisors actually is the people who would represent us in these discussions, such as Glenn County, Tehama County, Siskiyou County, et cetera. And there would be a couple of them that would do that. However, in these particular counties, if they do not sign on to this declaration or agree with the people, then we would simply appoint our own committee, and the Board of Supervisors would not represent the counties in the discussion as we go on to look at the menu in the restaurant of the state of Jefferson. And that basically is what we're doing here to answer the question. So this is of the people. We're not asking permission. Red, one other thing, too, when you speak on CalPERS, we had millions of people ask us about that. The people on Cal Fire were asking us. A lot of people are asking us about CalPERS. And when you discussed it last time, it was great. It's just that it's a lot for people to comprehend. So are you going to be speaking about that pretty soon?
Yeah, I'll be getting onto that right after this break.
Great. Anyway, that's to clarify. And, oh, by the way, Colusa has enough signatures too, guys. That happened a couple of days ago.
All right. We are on our way.
Great.
All right. Thank
you. Awesome. Thanks, Terry.
Yep.
So, and we will be diving right into the CalPERS issue right on the other side of this break.
Yep. As always, you can call in at 605-456.
Yeah, exactly.
That number. Did you catch it?
Yeah.
Did you catch it?
Slow it. Rewind it and slow it down.
605-456-7. I cannot write and talk at the same time. Or hang out in the chat room where I'm barely legible because my computer doesn't work at kcnr1460.com.
View 202, the only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions, including classics like sweet potato fries, View 202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite, Mai Mai Almondine. Also new, 6 unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from beer braised chicken, spicy Italian sausage, to seared wild mushrooms. Try their smoked steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with bottomless mimosas and half off bottles of
with these figures trying to get solvent. Now, one of the things that they finally did is they went to a defined contribution plan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's what all the new guys are on.
And which is actually sustainable, mm-hmm, because it's like, pick where you want to retire, and then we'll tell you what you have to invest out of your paycheck to hit that target. Okay. And it'll vary over time at whatever their I'm not sure if it's annually or whatever. Okay. So you have the defined benefit, which should be able to hold its own because it works like most retirement plans do.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is you have this massive defined benefit that nobody can get out from under. And what they're doing now is they're actually starting to liquidate the defined contribution plan to fund the defined benefit,
which is what they did with Social Security.
Because it's failing. Yes, essentially it is Social Security. In a manner of speaking. Okay.
Well, no, where they're taking the money out of the people who actually are putting the money in and giving out to people who didn't put the money in or simply promised that if they reach a certain age after so much time, mm-hmm, they could have it.
Yeah. Well, so what we have is you have all of these things that are going on. Okay. Now, what happens is the government treats the CalPERS slush fund as their own private little piggy bank to fund their things.
Just CalPERS?
Well, we're just
talking about CalPERS. Okay. I was just clarifying.
So we've got CalPERS here, which the government has basically figured out they can steal from the taxpayer twice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they take from the taxpayer, they pay it into public service employees who are also taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then they take these funds and then they invest them into government projects and government programs, and this is why CalPERS is having problems staying liquid and staying to their funding level, because CalPERS is invested in three things. They're invested in real estate heavily, but they're invested in mortgage-backed securities, which is Fannie Mae, mm-hmm. Freddie Mac, all of these government...
The cause of the 2008 crash, pretty much.
Exactly. So that part of their portfolio basically took a face plant, is not coming back. They're dragging it along, but they can't afford to liquidate it because they're so underwater they would lose so much money, it would detonate the fund. Okay, now you have the second leg of what they're in, and that's the bond market and foreign sovereign debt. And anybody that's watching the stock market right now knows how foreign sovereign debt is doing. It's exploding. But again, this is where you have the government taking taxpayer fund and their own employees' retirement fund and funding their ideas and other governments trying to float different currencies and stuff. And that's detonating as well right now, mm-hmm. if anybody's watching. So then you move on to the third leg of CalPERS' fund, which is energy, which has actually been performing fantastically.
Because they're doing the right kind of energy. Quote, right kind of energy.
Well, they've been invested in fracking, oil drilling. They're even illegally invested in Iran.
Well, that'll be okay. If this law gets vetoed by the president, then, you know, this trade agreement.
Yeah.
Never mind. We won't go on that right now.
Yeah.
We're going now.
So we've got all of that going on. We've got energy, right? And it's basically the energy portfolio that's dragging CalPERS along, mm-hmm. and generating the interest they need to stay funded. Okay? Along comes Uncle Jerry and the United Nations and says, let's talk about the carbon footprint of your stock portfolio.
Yeah.
Our what? The carbon footprint of your stock portfolio. Either you start to liquidate your energy portfolio and invest in green energy, which happens to be owned by all of my friends, or we're going to start making you buy carbon credits because of the carbon footprint of your stock portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this fund that it is struggling. I mean, just paddling as fast as they can to keep their head above water, and Uncle Jerry shows up and puts his foot on their head and holds them underwater. Okay, so they're liquidating all of that. Now, last year, to stay funded and not increase the exposure to the local municipalities, CalPERS had to hit a target of 7.25% interest to keep the fund afloat.
Yep.
They hit 2.5%.
Yeah, that's okay. A little bit underfunded.
Yeah, it's very underfunded.
Yeah.
But the scary part is for every 0.5% that they missed, the exposure by the local municipality goes up 4%. Okay, now you take a city like Reading, whose debt burden to CalPERS is already 256% of payroll, and you increase that by 4% for every 0.5% CalPERS missed by. Okay, so roughly CalPERS missed by 5 points. Okay, so that's 10 times 4 is 40% of 256% is how much the exposure to the city of Reading just went up to cover what's missing from CalPERS.
Well, that's okay. I mean, they have enough money. They just gave city council a 2% pay raise.
Well,
right?
I'm not even going to get into our city council.
I just love making that when he makes that face.
Even when you try to explain these things to them, we've got one city councilman that tracks on this. Okay, the other four city councilmen, well, three of the city council people, their eyes just cross and they don't even care. And one of them actually gets it and thinks it's fantastic. But, so, now you have this huge exposure coming, okay? Now, CalPERS recognizes the problem, but instead of saying that, hey, we have taken so many hits, and because of Uncle Jerry and the UN, we can't afford to stay sustainable, I can say that word, I promise, they have come up with things like, we're mitigating volatility in the marketplace right now by reducing our exposure to high-risk bonds. or high-risk investments. Okay, so that's sensible. So you're going to draw your horns in, and you're going to go into more stable funds that are going to generate even less interest than the 2.25 that you hit. Okay, that's understandable. It's sensible. The problem is your exposure to stay funded, and instead of accepting the unfunded amount that they are this year, they took all of that number, that debt burden, and just pushed it over to the next fiscal cycle. Mm-hmm. They said, hey, we actually hit our target. We're actually funded. We did what we were supposed to do. And then they just pushed all that they missed into the next fiscal cycle. So the next fiscal cycle, instead of having to hit 7.25, 7.5, either one, to stay funded, they now have to hit 18% interest in the next fiscal cycle.
Well,
while they're liquidating the one fund that is performing,
that's actually working,
and their second fund that was kind of performing is detonating like Chinese firecrackers all over the place.
They didn't invest in China, did they?
Yeah, they did. They're
so it's literally detonating like Chinese firecrackers.
Yeah, literally. So they
wow.
increase their burden of interest that they have to hit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. While their funds are collapsing, and the one fund that's working, they're having to liquidate because the green commies have shown up and have started stealing all of it. Now, as this is happening, the exposure to the local municipalities
mm-hmm.
is growing. Then you go back to the Stockton decision of last year that said a local municipality can actually liquidate the CalPERS funds to pay their creditors in a bankruptcy, and they can actually declare bankruptcy specifically not to pay CalPERS funds.
See, the thing that concerns me is, would Reading be a full-service city if we declared bankruptcy?
No.
Would it be a full-service city if we got rid of CalPERS?
That would be up to the employees. So,
that's just always the argument that we get up here is, oh, we can't do that. We're a full-service city.
Yeah.
We're broke. I don't know what that means in full service city terms, but we have money.
Most of these people don't understand how broke we are, because
when it's red,
listening.
That's not good, right?
Well,
that's how I know if my checkbook balance.
They don't have the red. That's what I mean by they're increasing their exposure. This is where the blended glide path comes in. My favorite thing.
I almost took a drink right there.
Okay, now the blended glide path is where they take the underperforming funds and the performing funds, and they lump them all together into one big fund, okay, to make it look like it's okay. And they take the red off of the book, and they push it into next year. So next year's already starting in the red to make it look like this is black. That's the blending, okay?
That's the blending.
And as we're blending, we're on the glide path, or as we prefer to call it now, the death spiral, okay? And there's your blended glide path, and that's how they come up with that.
So it's basically a plane without a wing.
It is.
That's your blended glide path.
There. Yes, it is a glider with no wings. We're going to get back into that in just a second. We've got a phone call from Steve Baird.
Do we want to hit our break first? It's 8:35.
Should we? Okay, let's hit our break, and then we'll come right
back to
Steve.
That way he has more time. Okay. So if you have any questions, call in after Steve. He'll be talking here in a couple minutes. 605-4567 or our chat room at kcnr1460.com.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit soj51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Redding Yellow Cab. At Redding Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Redding Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Redding Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Do you love brain teasers, interactive puzzles, and mind-bending challenges? Then you won't want to miss Turtle Bay's summer exhibition, Mindbender Mansion. Starting May 23rd, test your brain power by solving puzzles to reveal hidden clues and passwords in order to become a member of the Mindbender Society. Mindbender Mansion was created by the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry and is presented by Shasta Regional Medical Center and U.S. Bank. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Grace Place Tea House is now serving gourmet teas, Pete's Coffee, and delectable treats. All proceeds from Grace Place benefit Compass Shining Care, a local nonprofit committed to extending compassion and hope, enhancing the quality of life for individuals, families, and the overall community. Right in the heart of downtown at 1448 Pine Street. So stop in, enjoy a special drink while you relax and rejuvenate. Grace Place is what we are all about. A place of grace.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
What a fool. All right, come on.
Oh, no, you didn't. Better watch your back, boy. Keep running. This ain't just a game. I'll never stop coming. I've got my arsenal. I put out the call. When I'm finished, y'all, you'll be a rag doll.
Fool, try to diss me, now you're gonna wish you were dead.
Oh, no, you didn't.
After I deliver, your blood will be a river of red.
Oh, no, you did.
Better beware when no one's there to defend you.
Oh, no, you did.
So many ways to kill, it's gonna be a thrill to end you.
Oh, no, you did.
Oh, no, you did. Oh, no, you did.
Welcome back to the Jefferson State of Mind.
It's such I think a happy that's little song.
It is. When you listen to the words, you're like, what? Oh, my goodness.
Metaphorically speaking,
of course. Course.
Even yeah. With our music, metaphorically speaking, yeah. As always.
We just like good laughs, yeah. You know? We're good-hearted country folk.
We are. Wonder when Ted Gaines is coming up here again.
Hey, Senator Gaines. Yeah. We miss you.
Anyways, before we get too far down into it, let's get on to our phone call with Steve Baird. Steve, you there?
Good morning, Rick. Good morning, Kayla.
Good morning.
Yeah, I really love that blended glide path. You just can't get any better as far as
I have
coming
a,
up with a whiz-bang way.
I have a new one for you that we'll be getting into as we're finishing up, and that is an inappropriate assumption of solvency.
Oh, I love. Can't you just say bankrupt?
Yeah, that's even better than blended glide path.
Oh. Anyway, I got a great question off the web the other day from Brian Harrison. He was asking, when you're looking at the financial model that's at SOJ51.net, he asked, what about all these state-funded programs? What happens, like, you know, health and human services, probation, you know, the state mm-hmm. always puts in money to all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And with our model that we developed, each of the elements that is in the budget is already there regardless of funding source. And so if the money goes directly to the counties, they can continue and will continue to fund all those elements. So it's not, what are we going to do with California's money? We don't have to worry about it anymore because it's actually going to be, what are you going to do with the county's money? Because county gets the fair share, and then you don't have to worry about it. So citizens of each county can determine how to spend the funds. So it's kind of a great setup because if one locality wants to spend it on one thing and another wants to spend it on another, they can do as they please.
So it's pretty much catering to the specific needs of each county. What Sierra
Correct.
County might need may not be what Humboldt County needs, for example.
Right. So if you have a county that has very few funds and they want to put it into infrastructure, or if they choose to do it in health and human services, whatever they want, whatever their needs are, because you might have a low population,
mm-hmm.
but then the state would throw millions at it, and that doesn't make any sense. So they would force you to spend money where you don't need to, and so the county itself will be able to dictate where these funds are going.
Mm. And then there's other things to consider, like you brought up probation as one of the things in one of the funds. Well, considering that the prisons in the state of Jefferson, 97% of the population comes from what would then be California, we would actually have room in our prisons to keep the criminals off of the street and wouldn't mm-hmm. be suffering under Prop 47, AB 109, and things like that, and would actually have room to store our prisoners and reduce the burden on our probation departments and our,
so
our
probation's
police
actually,
departments, correct?
Yeah.
Correct. I mean, it's going to be a cash boom to our prison systems up on the north side because we have a 90% fill rate on those, and California will be paying for it. So we have an income generator on day one.
That's right, we do. And we actually have enough room to house our own criminals and clean up our own streets.
Yeah, and I think that's the key there is right now, like we mentioned probation, and that's essentially where somebody would have gone to jail more than likely, but there's no room in the jail, so you put an inkling on them or they're under house arrest or something like that. Or you just turn them loose, catch and release. We've all heard that phrase. And there's just not enough probation officers out there to even keep track of these people. And this includes all of your sex offenders and things like that. So if we actually put criminals where criminals are supposed to go, had them rehabilitated there, and then once they're rehabilitated, send them back out on the streets, watch them for whatever the 3 or 6 years is, usually somewhere in there, there you go. You've just cleaned up your streets.
So
you're not going to have any issues.
Our solution is that we could actually go back to punishing crime rather than reducing what a crime is or, increasing the level of offense that you have to commit for it to be a crime.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a concept. No.
I did want to get to Brian's second question. He says, okay, since there's going to be so much surplus, what are you going to do with it? And he talked about a lot of the functions that California provides today, like Caltrans and CHP and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the surplus will be used for, but based on what the county requires in its particular area, its surplus will go to spend on those particular items plus taking care of the cities and municipalities below them. So when you're talking about surplus, it's not a grand party time. It's actually taking over what the state used to do and funding the cities below the county.
Well, I wouldn't even say what the state used to do. The state is not doing their job. Think of Siskiyou County, Trinity County. They could actually focus on firefighters to put out these fires that are destroying thousands and hundreds of thousands of acres of land. Yuba could focus on their levee system, which is crumbling before their eyes. Things like that. You can actually focus on what you need to actually do for those particular counties.
Yeah, and, with, Trinity County, now they, under the state of Jefferson, they could design their own forestry plans and things like that and go through and
healthy
actually
forest management.
Do some healthy stands management and things like that. With a surplus for the state, there's all kinds of things that you could do. You can increase services. You can start a rainy day fund. You could even do what Oregon does and send the taxpayers a kicker check for the money that we didn't spend. There's a world of possibilities, and that's what's fantastic about Jefferson is we can make it do what we want it to do.
Mm-hmm.
Still there, Steve?
I am still there.
Oh.
So that's basically the questions I had from the internet for this week. I'll cut you loose and get back to you soon.
Awesome.
All right.
Thanks
well,
so
thank
much.
You, Steve, and good stuff. And it's always nice to get people to understand it. And as I say many, many times, I always love the gleam, that first gleam of understanding in someone's eyes. When
Where
you
that glaze just leaves.
You keep going at it, and you keep going at it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're asking California mindset questions. Well, what is this? No, stop thinking like California.
Yeah.
Start thinking like you're in a free state. And you see that first concept, that first dawning of understanding.
Yeah.
And you just instantly see the little light bulb, the little gleam in someone's eye. And you're just like, oh, you just got it, didn't you? And with that, we're going to get off to our last break, and then we'll come back on finish up on CalPERS and why you have an inappropriate assumption of solvency.
Because we're on the blended glide path, folks. We did have one other question, and that is, what is a full-service city? And essentially, that's a city that is self-contained. They run all their own services. Usually, they should be able to afford all of those services, but not in the case of Reading, unfortunately. If you have any questions as we continue talking about CalPERS, anything like that, feel free to call in at 605-4567 or hang out in our chat room at kcnr1460.com.
The voice in my head, hey, it's telling me that I should stay in my bed, cause it's two in the night. Woo! Why can't I sleep when it's two in the night? Cause the fire in my soul, hey, the fire in my soul got me ready to fight, and I'm ready for war. Climb the streets and I found my way over. You know I've been so lost in translation, like I'm fighting for truth in Babylon, trying to find my peace in the zone of war.
Even when the day comes,
yeah.
Even when the day comes, 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 I'll be ready when the day comes.
I'm ready for war. I'm ready for action. Now watch me kick in the door. But what if the day comes when we go from sun to moon soon? Who can I run to, run to, run to? Will you be loyal? Will you be true when I need you? Say, climb these streets and I found my way over. You know I've been so lost in translation, like I'm fighting for truth in Babylon, trying to find my peace in the zone of war.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
Have you ever wanted to be in the spotlight? The Cascade Theater is holding an open casting call for its spring production of the musical Mary Poppins. It's the delightful show about everyone's favorite practically perfect nanny. Singers and dancers aged 7 and up are invited to try out at the Cascade September 11th through the 13th. Information and appointment scheduling is online at cascadebackstage.org/auditions or 243-8877.
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay-neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us, East Side Road off of 273.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken and the time has come for 51. Please visit soj51.net. and donate now to show your support.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
I have a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Turn world to its own needs. Dummy, serve your own needs. Feed it up and not speak. Grunt, no strength. Doesn't matter. Start to clatter with fear. Fight down. High wire in a fire. Representatives have engaged in a government for hire in a combat site. Next to us are coming in a hurry with the fury breathing down your neck. Keep my team reporters babble tongue.
I hope it's the end of the world as we know it, because I think I've been in the twilight zone the last 8 years.
Well, either way, those 8 years are almost done.
Are they?
Either way. Yeah.
We'll see.
Unless we want America to burn.
We'll see.
It will be. Yeah.
Well, so we wanted to finish up with CalPERS, and I think where we left off was explaining how the exposure to the local municipalities is going up due to CalPERS missing its interest rate targets, and what that's going to do to the local cities and counties, and how those municipalities can actually now declare bankruptcy specifically to get out from under CalPERS.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about how San Bernardino has become the first city to dump CalPERS and what they're doing. And so the firefighters went to CalPERS and said, well, you know, where's our retirement funds and things like this?
Mm-hmm.
And CalPERS looked them in the eye and said, I'm sorry, you had an inappropriate assumption of solvency. Think about that whole statement. It not only was it an assumption of solvency, never mind the fact that CalPERS the whole time has been saying, oh, yeah, we're funded, because they're pushing the debt just 1 year out further and mm-hmm. increasing the debt and pushing it. So them telling someone that, yeah, everything's all good is an assumption, and not only that, it's an inappropriate assumption. It was wrong of you to believe them, and you're probably an idiot for doing it. Assumption of solvency. Solvency speaks for itself. So you take that whole term of inappropriate assumption of solvency.
And 150 years ago, you would have been dueling.
Yes, 150 years ago, somebody would have been out in the street swinging.
Yeah.
So.
Well, no, that's 50 years ago.
I love how they go from, we're mitigating volatility in the market, means we're pulling our horns in, we're going to create even less interest, increasing the burden onto the cities.
Mm-hmm.
As we place ourselves in the blended glide path, which is. Blended glide path. Translation, we're hiding the deficit as long as we can. Now we're to, there's an inappropriate assumption of solvency, i.e., we're broke. I can't believe you assumed there was money, and it was very inappropriate of you to do so. And I know somewhere hidden deep within CalPERS, there's a marketing genius that's just getting paid big-time money to come up with this. And they run to him every time, and they say, hey, we can't keep doing these funds anymore, and we're going broke. What do we do? No. We're mitigating volatility in the market. Oh, okay, and they run off with that. Hey, we completely missed our target. We're going to have to bankrupt these cities to pay these funds. What are we going to do? We have to push all our debt off to next year and increase next year's debt burden. Well, we make it look like, you know, we did okay this year. No. You're on the blended glide path. No, that's perfect. And they run off and they tell everybody they're on the blended glide path. Hey, these guys want their money. We're broke. No, they have an inappropriate assumption of solvency. I mean, somewhere there's somebody getting paid big money for this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the hour that we had, and what you guys got was a very condensed version. There's a lot more to explain about CalPERS and the specifics and the things, but I hope that we're able to get through essentially what is going on. Is CalPERS made a promise that they could never keep. That promise has been getting further and further away. The debt burden to the local municipalities and essentially the taxpayer has grown to a rate that they could never shoulder that burden if it came down on them anyways. CalPERS is on the point of collapse because their investments are bunk, and the one good one that they had, they're being forced by the government to remove. And the worst part that's coming is now you've got Jerry Brown screaming as loud as he can at CalPERS collectors to go after the local municipalities to get the funds into CalPERS so he can use those funds to buy bonds to float his bankrupt budget in California. It's going to get even worse.
Yeah.
And as more people realize this and as more cities like San Bernardino realize this, they're going to bail out of CalPERS. And without a city like San Bernardino paying in, the debt exposure grows,
mm-hmm.
the unfunded liability amount grows, it gets worse, more municipalities and unions bail, it's gross, it's CalPERS is a dead man walking.
Yeah.
Anybody that's listening, get your money out if you can. And, you know, at the end of the day, there's going to be a lot of people that are upset at the employees, the public service employees. Don't be mad at them. They've been built, they've been
well, most of them know how bad it is, too, but they can't do anything about it. Well, you can't take your money out.
A lot of people are, you can.
There's a way?
There's a way. We'll go over that later.
We'll have a chat about that afterwards.
but they've been hoodwinked just as bad as the taxpayer, and people are like, oh, well, they never should have taken the deal in the first place, and it's their fault. No, it's not. If you go into a job and you're wanting to make $35,000 a year, you're hoping in this economy to make $35,000 a year, and somebody goes, hey, we're going to give you Cadillac health care coverage for you and your family. You're going to retire at 80%, and we're going to pay you $65,000 a year. Are you really going to stand up and go, no, I don't think that's appropriate. Can you just pay me $35,000 and no benefits? Yeah, right. So quit blaming the employees that took the deal that they were offered, mm-hmm. and put the blame where it belongs, on the union management and the government shysters that pulled this off, on the taxpayer and the employee. Because you're looking at people that have provided key services, policemen, firemen, people like that, who have worked their whole lives, yeah. and they are going to be out on the streets with nothing. That's not right. And don't blame them for that. Blame the appropriate people for that. Mm-hmm. And that is Sacramento. That's our legislatures. That's our Governor Uncle Jerry. That's CalPERS and their union management that has led them right on down the blended glide path into it's a mess.
And it's going to affect everybody. If you don't have firemen, if you don't have police officers, if you don't have all of those services, when you need them, they're not going to be there.
Well, that's when we were in Placer County a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. and I was talking about CalPERS, and I had the fire chief of the city of Roseville come up to me, and he goes, mm-hmm. I'm so happy that I heard you talk. Can you show me where you're finding this information? I said, yeah, go to CalPERS. It's right there. It's on CalPERS website. It's in their prospectus. It's on all this. And he said, well, how do I get that? And I said, well, you're a member of CalPERS. They have to disclose all of that to you. Yeah. It's public record. And he goes, well, we've known for a long time something's going on. We can't get an answer out of our union. We knew something was wrong. And I said, well, this is where you start looking. Don't take my word for it. Go to CalPERS. Start looking there. Start doing your reviews. And, you know, CalPERS is a mess. And it's not coming back. It's not going to get any better. You know, these people are... I don't know. They're literally going to be at retirement age with nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and even the little bit that they might be counting on from Social Security. Nope. Not going to get that.
Well, anybody under 50 is not going to be getting that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
There were two questions in the chat room. The first one was, who will have oversight for the counties in Jefferson? Essentially, the state will have oversight over the counties
What kind of oversight are you talking about?
Well, we don't have enough time to really get into that. Okay. Maybe next week. But the state itself will have oversight over the counties just to make sure that everything's smooth. But it's the people. The people have oversight over their own counties, and they have oversight over their own state. And the second question was, is CalSTRS the same or just as bad as CalPERS? So is CalSTRS as bad as CalPERS?
We have not yet cracked the seal on that. We figure one horseman of the apocalypse at a time. But we are going to start looking. So the answer to that is we don't know yet.
All right.
So, and with that, we're off to another
end.
Hour.
yeah.
Stay tuned for Sovereign Minds. Mm-hmm. We'll be coming up on that. We might get a chance to touch a little bit more on CalPERS. I know there's going to be a lot of discussion of things that is going on with the market and a lot of different stuff that's going on. News is coming fast and furious. And Linda Kent's back, and she's going to tell us a tale of her trip to Arlington. Really, really mm-hmm. looking forward to that.
So this is, of course, the Jefferson State of Mind, and it's time to make it yours, Jeffersonian.
Keep the sunny side up.
News This Hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Millions of migrants fleeing war in the Middle East are flooding into Europe this year. Should the U.S. do more to help? Republican presidential candidate Carly Fiorina says no.
I think the United States honestly, sadly, cannot relax our entrance criteria.
She tells CBS TV that the risk of admitting terrorists is too great. The U.S. has accepted about 1,000 Syrians this year. The seventh named tropical storm of the eastern Atlantic hurricane season has formed several hundred miles from the Cape Verde Islands. This one is called Grace.
It's moving off quickly toward the west right now at about 14 miles per hour. And over the next several days, we basically expect Grace to continue moving generally westward across the tropical Atlantic through the rest of the weekend and through the middle portions of next week.
National Hurricane Center specialist Michael Brennan. Senator Ted Cruz is urging Majority Leader Mitch McConnell not to schedule a vote on a bill that continues.